Hi, my name is Claudia Porto. I'm a senior at Central Catholic High School, and I play soccer and basketball. I started the Lead 'Em Up program my freshman year on the basketball team, and I've been doing it for the past 4 years. It's had a major impact on the way our team played and connected with each other, not only on, but also off the court. And I honestly believe that each year we truly achieved what it meant to be a green team. Not to mention it helped us make it into playoffs each year. We really focused on what it meant to be green and made it a big deal for every game, practice, film, or really anything else we did. But for me, Lead 'Em Up helped me build the confidence I needed and helped me grow into the leader I always knew I could be. It was a goal of mine to get my entire team into the green, which meant bringing the energy, calling people out if I needed to, and just making each and every player, especially the role players, feel like they had a purpose on the team.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Today, I'm joined by Coach Caleb Parnon from Michigan, out in the beautiful state of Michigan, which I have family out there, so I feel like I'm like a semi-Michigan, I don't know what they call you all, Coach.
Yeah. Michiganders, I think you'd say, yeah.
Michiganders, okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm part of it, okay. I should probably get the name of that down if I'm going to say that. But, you know, I'm excited to have you on, Coach, because you are fresh off the heels of a big, big victory with an incredible journey that led up to it as you all just became Division IV girls soccer champions in the state of Michigan. You just recently won the state championship that was hosted over at Michigan State University over in East Lansing. You all won 5-0 against Royal Oak. Big, big win. And it's been fun from my perspective over these last few weeks to kind of follow along with you and the team journey and get to know some of the players on the team and really just witness what's been going on. And you all have been a program that Jews Lead 'Em Up, and that's how we've got connected initially. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go throughout. But it is clear, Coach, that what you all have is what all coaches aspire to get to, okay? And not just the trophy, right? I get that, right? But like, I want to read some quotes from some of your players, okay? Because the things that your players were saying post-championship and during this run, not all players say. They don't have teams like this. I want to read one from Hope Johnson. Hope is your leading goal scorer. She was the Green 13 winner in our Lead 'Em Up, won Chick-fil-A for an entire year. Just an incredible leader. She said, "I don't even know how to put into words. This is such a great group of girls. I couldn't have wished for a better group. We all love each other so much. I don't know what I'm going to do without being able to see them all the time." And they talked about, you know, you all having a pasta party the night before and their emotions coming out, and that the freshmen were speaking in ways about the seniors and how special the seniors were. You know, you talk about the fact that, you know, the culture of the team is so positive, so loving, so supportive, and that these girls deserved it. Okay. You talk about the community, only about 3,000 people in your community, but yet you feel like they all have been a part of this journey, right? Coaches die for, you know, to have the community involved in the team. This just seems like you all have brought it all together and it produced the results that it normally does. So let's back up here. Okay. That's the high level here. This is your first year head coach though, right? You were in Chicago. You came back to teach at North Muskegon. You lost last year due to COVID. And this was your first official year. You took over a team that had lost in the state semis 2 years in a row prior. So there was talent here. So I want to ask you, when you stepped in onto the field this year, how much did you try to incorporate new versus hold on to what had already been built?
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about the culture of winning, I mean, it was still here, right? The girls expect to win here. There's a lot of talent, a lot of girls, you know, like just excited to play soccer. There's a lot of talent here. So when everything we tried to do, it seemed like there was buy-in already. I didn't have to force that, right? But one of the things we noticed, which as a teacher in the school was really nice, we only had about 14 or 15 girls that were going out for the team. And to me, like, that's an area where I'm new to coaching, but one of the things I did at my previous job was I was in charge of the student section, right? So we had, you know, a couple thousand kids in the school, and it was just like building stuff and trying to build hype and momentum and all these things. So that was kind of an area where I felt pretty comfortable, how to entice kids to play soccer, right? And so that was a huge part of what we did this year, was let's try to get those numbers up. You know what I mean? So we ended up going from 14 or 15 coming out last year to 35 by the end of this season, which was huge. So we had a JV team for the first time in forever. But in terms of like what we took over, this, I got to know some of the seniors real well. They're going to be seniors. And so last spring when the season was over, we got together and I kind of just, we read through a book, Jeff Jansen's How to Build and Sustain Championship Culture. So we went through that book and kind of just asked them what, you know, I said, hey, listen, we're not bashing the previous regime at all, right? At all. Because we're going to do the same thing to me next year, right? So right now, just kind of wanted to ask you, like, what do you think? Like, what's our culture like? What's it feel like to play here? What's it like to be at North Muskegon to play soccer? And I think they didn't know how to articulate it all that well. Not that it wasn't important, that it wasn't there. They hadn't been asked that before, right? So as we kind of kept pushing, it became pretty clear that we had a team full of, as you guys say, we had a team full of good people, good girls, right? But that leadership component just wasn't really there yet, right? So again, as we look at our captains, I think Hope was a great example, just a natural leader. And we had some others that were a little more reticent at first and needed a little more like, I want to do this stuff. I love leading. I love soccer and I love people, but how do I become a good leader? And I think that a huge part of what we did was just really doing that training last spring. So when the season ended, we said, hey, listen, we got to build this. We can't take a year off from soccer. You know, some of them play for their club teams and stuff, but not everyone. So as we tried to build a culture, we just talked about what's it going to feel like? What's it going to look like to be here, right? We want this to be special. And I don't want that to just be words on a t-shirt or something. You know, we wanted to have a family, and it sounded almost cheesy at the beginning, honestly, because we're, you know, these are the things everybody's got on the back of their shirts, right? In the weight room and stuff. And it just, as the season went on, and it just seemed like it became such a family. And I think that in some ways, like even just the green dot or being on the green team kind of thing, I think at first it was going to be like a pep talk, right? Like one game. And it just like, it was so sticky, right? It just caught on and the girls bought in and their parents were shouting out like, we're all in at the games and stuff, you know? And it was, they're putting it on their cars or hashtags on Facebook. And it was like, it quickly became way, you know, way more important to our season than I thought at the beginning. But that culture piece was huge. And I think it really started with those girls, those captains, and giving up a lot of their summer to do book talks with coach, you know?
There's a lot of different ways I can go on that. Yeah. I want to start with this, you know, the increasing of numbers for your program. What does that actually do for your program? Because I have to imagine you're not pulling out of the crowd 3-star, 4-star, 5-star athletes. Okay. So like someone would say like, well, what's the point per se? You bring all these extra people in, they're not necessarily major quote unquote contributors on the field. What does increasing the numbers do for a program?
I think if you would have watched one of our games this year, everyone would tell you we had the loudest bench you've ever seen. Right. And it was magical. It really was. Like when we were down or it's in a close game, that absolutely made such a difference to the girls on the field. And so we had, for example, one of the girls that this year said she wanted to play was a senior, had a catastrophic knee issue. She was in a wheelchair last year. And she was also like one of the best golfers in the state. Right. So she's like, hey, I was thinking about playing soccer. I haven't played in forever. Like, what do you think about that? And you're thinking, this is a high character kid. She's like, you don't even need to play me. I don't even care. I don't even need a jersey. I'll just be the manager. It's fine. It's like, no, right there. That is culture, right? That's the kid who I want in my program is a kid like Georgie, who's like, you know, hey, you don't even need to play me. I don't care. I'm happy to keep stats or cheer or whatever. And it's like, so when that bench is filled and just everyone is looking at these seniors whom they respect, who might not play a lot, right? But you can just hear it. And so part of it was just building that energy. The other part of that was we have like a big sister, little sister kind of thing on the team. So we look at trying to partner up seniors with freshmen or thereabout. And once again, here's another mentor for these girls. And yeah, I think it's huge. But I do think it takes a second and some, if your identity on your team is only about like your goals and assists, like then we have issues, right? And so if you don't feel worth based on like who you are and how little that has to do with what you do with the soccer ball, right, then you're going to have issues. And I think that that was part of what was going on, is I think that we needed to make sure these girls felt valued, even if they don't play at all. And I think that that was what was so special, is that the girls, you know, we dressed 25 girls for the state championship. I mean, they didn't all play, you know what I mean? And I never heard one comment all year about that. It, the girls were committed to what we were trying to do, which was build a family, and everyone was all in. And if you're all in, it could be on the bench and you're just cheering your guts out and supporting your teammates. And that's what we're trying to build here.
I love that you just put that there. Everybody needs to feel valued. And we so often in sports value that based on stats, right? The goals, assists. But like, I think it'd be helpful for coaches if we continue to be intentional to make sure our players feel valued based on contribution. And contribution can spread a long way, like in many different facets. And I think that's what we need from a team, right? We need a team filled with contributors. But then recognizing contributions come in all different shapes, forms, fashions, ways, dynamics. And if, you know, even if I'm not playing, but I feel like I'm contributing and those around me recognize my contributions, whether that's cheering on the bench, whether that's mentoring a young person, whether that's adding excitement. Now, all of a sudden, I do feel like I'm a contributing member. And really? And I think young kids, I think that's shifted a little bit. I think that's also the coach's responsibility to lead that, because I think society just says goal, score, you know, who's in the paper, who's getting the minutes, who starts, you know, that type of thing. Sounds like your team kind of shifted and recognized everybody plays a role.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also for the kids who are quote unquote good, right? Like one of our star players, you know, in soccer, we don't have the hockey assist, right? So a lot of soccer is pretty unrecognized in stats, right? But we had a kid who's very, one of our best players. And I think she would get upset if she didn't get a goal or an assist, not because she needed the praise, but because she had a hard time realizing like, well, what did I have to do with that? If I didn't get a goal or if I didn't get the assist, like I didn't have a good game. And it wasn't coming from a place of pride. It was like, well, then how do I know if I played well? Right. And so we had to really talk about like, well, what does that mean to play well? Like you've played your whole life, right? Did you play well today? She's like, well, yeah, I don't know, maybe. And it's like, you can see that doubt creeping in, and it's like, you can't doubt yourself because, right, like how much of any sport has to do with the person who set up the person who set up the person, you know? So especially in a game like soccer where it's such a team sport. But yeah, so I mean, it had to be spelled out like just like that for some of our top athletes as well, is hey, listen, like if you score every goal, that's really cool and everything, but people can stop a player. Right. We had a player in Hope Johnson. She could have scored 20 times more than she scored this year. She's outstanding. Right. But at some point, someone can stop a player, but they can't stop a team, is what we kind of talked about. So,
yeah. Highlighting the contribution factor is so, so key for coaches. So, I mean, one thing that is so special about this particular group, you've touched on it a couple times, this group of seniors.
Yeah.
The humility they had. It sounds like the approachability they had. Right. There didn't seem like there was much ego, although you could argue there could have been, right? Because there's scholarships to D1 programs going out to some of these girls and such. But even when you talked about this pasta party, right, where freshmen were speaking about the seniors and such, I want to ask a couple of things. One, what gets seniors to act that way? Is that just you got lucky, coach, and they just happen to be incredibly humble from great families and you just inherited a great group? Does it come from ongoing development and intentional teaching and instruction? How do you get a group of seniors to be these humble, approachable, selfless leaders that they were?
Well, to be fair, I think that a lot of it was inherited, that they were really good kids, right? I do think that. But I want to highlight one kid in particular was a forward last year. And I asked her to convert to be a defender. And I said, hey, if you're a defender, we win state. Right. Like I mean that, like, I think you could be one of our best defenders. And if you switch positions and it's like, you know, and I know she told me that was fine. But I'm sure she had moments where she's like, what are we doing here? Right. Like I play forward or whatever. And so I think what happened was, again, it's teaching these young athletes that you have to be a part of something bigger than just you, right? This team isn't just your team. It's our team. And so just like a family has all these different members, or, you know, the idea that like different parts of the body, and we all work together for a similar purpose, right? And so what is our purpose? It's to love each other and to get better as people and to get better as athletes. And if we do that, we're going to win state. It's kind of what we said all year. But I was able to say that because they got so close the year before. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even like I was pulling their leg. Like, it was a very realistic shot we had. But I think that it was super intentional. And I think that we had to remind, so that player every couple of weeks, I was like, hey, you know, we need you back there. You're killing it. Hey, I was talking to this coach. They said that, and making sure that we praise those athletes, not just for goals, but making sure like, hey, listen, they only had two shots on net last night. Let's praise that for a second. Like in our state semifinal game, we only gave up, I think it was one shot. And this is a great team that we played. And it comes down to like everyone knew their role and played together. And we had some selfless players go, all right, I'll play defense. Okay. Right. Cause they recognized that their value was what they could contribute to the team. Like we talked about on the bench. It was the same idea.
I'm glad you gave credit to inheriting some of these great leaders, yeah. Right? Because I think we sometimes, since they were under your supervision per se, your guidance during the senior year, and you had the special run, all credit goes to you. And I'm not trying to diminish the credit, okay? Because there's a lot that is deserving. But I'm in the same boat, right? I'll work with teams that have great, we overachieve, we accomplish something special, and I got hired or brought in as a leadership coach, and I get a lot of credit. Oh man, you just not so fast. Right. I inherited a tremendous group, right? I inherited good kids with healthy foundations. Okay. But I do think it then becomes our responsibility in those moments to fine tune it, to enhance some skill set, right? To adjust some thinking. And that's when you can take good leaders and make them incredible. And that's what it sounds like you did here. And we recorded a podcast on this, coach, early on about how good kids is a trap, right? Where most people think I got good kids and then they pull back a little bit. You looked at it the opposite. You said, I've got good kids. I'm going to pour into it. And all of a sudden you took these good kids that a lot of people would say, oh, they're good kids. We don't need to spend time on that because I don't have any troublemakers. I don't have any ineligible students, things of that nature. You said, no. This strength of ours actually could be the separator. Were you viewing it in the way that I just communicated it?
100%. It was, we can squeeze more out of athletes if we just, you know, I mean, we've all played on teams that didn't do that. Right. And I just think back to like, you know, my college experience is pretty much sitting on the bench, you know, but like, I was afraid to try. I was afraid to go all in. Right. And we think about why that was. And it was like, I didn't know my role. You know what I mean? I wasn't supported in the sense of like someone saying, hey man, who cares? Right. Who cares? Try, go for it. And
yeah, you weren't willing to be vulnerable. It wasn't a safe enough team environment.
Exactly. So I think that was a huge thing for me, was just thinking back on my own experience and going, I could have been a lot better than what I was, you know? And so I want to make sure these girls feel like, even if this is the last time they play soccer, like now I push it to the absolute max, you know, as a leader and as an athlete. And so I think that hopefully that will stick around for a long time here.
Yeah. You know, we spend a lot of time in Lead 'Em Up talking about followers, right? Being healthy followers, high performing followers. And when we don't have groups of players that are healthy, high performing followers, right? We use that term followership. It prohibits others from stepping out and trying to lead at their best, trying to be their best, because they're not sure how others will embrace it. But when they know that others will support them, will endorse them, will embrace it, it gives you this freedom, right? To try to make a play, to step out of your comfort zone. And that takes work, right? It requires some intentional focus. You got to fight every day for it. Okay. It doesn't happen overnight. It's an ongoing process. Let's go through your championship run. Okay. Mm-hmm. As we went through these playoffs, you just smiled there. You like talking about this. I get it.
I do. It's still new to me. Yeah.
I'm sure. But listen, you're probably going to talk about this for the rest of your life. Which is,
I'll be awesome that guy. Thing. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Okay. First of all, do you change anything from a scheduling perspective when you get into the playoffs? Like, are you superstitious, right? Like, you know, did anything change? You start doing anything different, majorly different as you went into the playoffs? Or did you kind of keep it the same ongoing?
We really tried to keep it the same. But I think that speaks back to the whole time we were training was we wanted to go to the championship, right? So I think if you went to one of our training sessions in February, with masks on, running outside, like people would be pretty impressed with the intent. Like, just, it was intense. Right. And so as we got to the playoffs, no, I think the only thing that the hardest part, I think, was that as coaches, when the games are closer, you get a little bit more like uptight, and we would recognize things like we really didn't have issues all season, but all of a sudden the game's 0-0 and you're like, well, wait a second. We had kind of overcoached a little bit. So it was like, all right, guys, let's get on the same page here. Like, I think that was a challenge for us. And I think that we overcame that in appropriate ways, you know, but yeah, I could tell that, like, when the game's on the line, it's a little different coaching than when, you know, we play some teams that we were a lot better than, and we were able to beat them pretty easily, you know, throughout the season. And so when you're playing challenging opponents where it's a little tighter of a game, I think it's easy to just kind of, as we say, joystick our players a little too much. Like, all right, 6 feet that way, 2 feet that way. And it's just like, let them play, right? Let them enjoy it. And we've kind of felt like we've brought them in, I don't know, hopefully a good situation where they felt trained for that, prepared for that environment too.
Hello. This is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love how Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, kept things simple. He would talk about the importance in the language we used with guest and team. He knew it was something we could all utilize regardless of having money, position, or power. It's free for all of us to use. One example is the idea of responding to a guest saying thank you with "my pleasure." This change in language simply delivers a more grateful and unique way to appreciate others in the restaurant and workplace. It can change the way a team member and customers feel cared for, and I would say it even makes the fries and milkshakes taste better. Simple, kind wording opens the door for so many more conversations in these relationships. What wording can you use regularly to show a new level of kindness? Now, let's jump back to the episode.
So as you were going through the playoff run, this theme of green continued to get elevated. It seemed like it was always part of it, but then it became kind of like a light take on a life of its own, right? The news started talking about it, really became a focal point. Speak about the dynamic of green. I know it was a combination of thoughts that came together to kind of build that theme, a little bit of the lead them up green team. And then you also drew from University of Florida's head coach that spoke in a video with what drives winning. I believe that's where it came from. But they actually played off one another very well to kind of create this theme. So for those that aren't familiar, talk about that. You guys were blue and yellow, but yet y'all were donning green everywhere. Talk about where that came from, how it evolved, and what it turned into.
Well, it's funny. One of our big rivals across the water wears green. So it was like, wait, are you guys trolling them? Or like, what's going on with that? Why are you wearing green? You know, and it was just, you'd see it and it stood out, right? Like right away. And I think what happened was for whatever reason, it was sticky. And I don't know if I have a good answer for you on why they were into it, right? But we talked about, like, we are all in, no matter what the score is, no matter what the environment. If you see a ref make a bad call, we had our star goalie got hurt at the very beginning of the year. And it's like, hey, you know what? Next up, we're all in. No excuses. We're not going to talk about that. Or our one loss of the season, we were missing three starters on various issues. One who's had a concussion like symptoms, one had a bad ankle, and one had a scholarship opportunity. And it was like, hey, we can sit here and, you know, talk about how we could have done this. And it's like, let's not do that. Let's not be that team who makes excuses. Let's just go for it. And we ended up learning a lot. We lost that game where we were missing those players. And I'll be honest, we saw things in film I had never thought about, but because we approached it as like if we had this player, we would have been fine. It's like, we didn't. We tried to adopt a growth mindset as coaches, and where we have to, as a team, get better, right? And as coaches, we need to model that and recognize opportunities for growth rather than like, oh, well, yeah, I do think we would have won if we would have had those starters, right? Sure, right? They scored with 90 seconds left. You know what? We had those three girls. We probably would have, yeah, that's fine. Maybe that's true, right? But we tried to see moments for growth, and that growth comes kind of from that all-in kind of idea where, like, you can't be afraid to be vulnerable to learn and to grow. And like, as coaches, I think we did a pretty good job modeling what that looked like of let's seek for opportunity. Let's watch film and look where we can get better versus like, oh man, haha. How many times you watch film as the team and they're like laughing at, oh man, look at you. He got you there, you know, kind of just laughing at each other. And that bothers me, right? It comes down to like, let's be brave. Let's be fearless and let's grow and recognize like we're not done as coaches and you're not done as players, you know?
So this theme of the green kind of even permeated beyond the players to the parents, right?
Yeah.
And to the community. Did that shock you?
It did. It absolutely shocked me. I'd always thought like hashtags, I'm not really a big, I like social media and stuff, but I'm not really into the hashtag thing or whatever. And I just, as we were talking, it's like, man, I think there needs to be a way for like the community to do what we're doing. And I think that what happened was like, you'd see cars and it says all in on the sides or green dots. And like, we would, I look up and I see my son who's 7 at the state championship game, him and his buddies got green dots on their hands. It's like, I never told them, you know what I mean? They just, they do what they see. And I think that the parents were just so into that. They got these green wristbands and they were, because they see their girls playing in a way where they were fearless, right? And so the girls were getting better and you could see it. So the girls believed in it more as they kind of continued to win, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing that the sticky nature, you reference that a lot, you know, we talk about that all the time. You need this simplified universal language to rally around, right? Sometimes you need simple little identifications or, things that everybody can immediately see. It doesn't need great explanation because everyone knows what it means.
Yep.
Okay. And like, oh, green. Oh, okay. Green means go. Green means all in. Green means this, this, and this, right? All the things, you know, we talk about within the green team. And there are rallying points, but it has to be fueled by the team. Okay. There's a lot of things that get presented to coaches, but if it's not received with the right leadership and the momentum isn't facilitated by the players, it falls flat. Okay. You all had a player in Hope Johnson. I don't know if she's your best player. She's certainly one of your top players, right? Going to Syracuse University to play soccer, your leading goal scorer. She was a senior. Anyone that follows Lead 'Em Up knows we do an annual Green 13 Award where we solicit nominees from coaches around the country of teams that are in Lead 'Em Up, and you nominate your player if you feel like they're deserving of the Green 13. And it's really that player that's just exemplified all that it means to be green, right? High level leadership, all in, growth mindset, all those different things. And you nominated Hope. And I had never met you and I never met Hope, but our team, as we went through all the applications, we selected Hope and awarded her. And that was a cool day, right? Where we got to get on Zoom and surprise her. And I think her parents were there. And then she got in the video because afterwards she walks outside and her whole team's there like celebrating her and she yells out Chick-fil-A on me, right? Because you get free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Still waiting on that, by the way, but
For you, yeah, right? Me. She has it. Yeah, she owes that some,
yeah,
right? Like at the very least, can you get Coach a chicken sandwich, Hope? Come on. But they always say your best players have to be your best leaders. And if you can get that, if that can happen, that becomes such a game changer. I want to just ask you, how much of a game changer is it for when someone like Hope sets the tone from a leadership and character, growth mindset, humility, all that, right? Like when a player like that sets the tone, how critical is that for a team?
It's huge. I mean, it was strong for the other captains. It was strong for the freshmen. You know, it was strong as coaches. You see it just working and clicking with her. No, you couldn't draw up a better kid than Hope, right? She's an incredible person. And a lot of what we try to do is just being intentional about how we treat people. So something as simple as like somebody's birthday on the team and Hope would go out and get donuts and write a little note like, hey, future soccer star, North Muskegon, like here's a donut, like on her birthday. But usually those things come from a coach, right? Or it's the coach's idea. And Hope just started what about we do this? And what about, and she just had these ideas. And it was like, when people feel that love from your best player, you know, arguably like it's hard to find a better way to do that. Right. So she was all in all year. And I mean, I think that as a captain, it just showed these girls next year are like, what's the culture like when we have that conversation next couple of weeks, what's it like to play for North Muskegon? They're going to have a very, very difficult time replicating, right? What Hope and other captains were able to do this year. But I think they'll be able to put words to it, right? Like last year when I said that we met, the girls weren't really sure necessarily like, well, we liked going to soccer. We love soccer. We love our team, right? It's important to win. Like they just hadn't thought about that before. And I think that this year with that intentionality, we're hoping that that grows even greater, but man, big shoes to fill.
Yeah. I mean, the standard has been risen.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, right? You know, that's a really, really good thing. And you stopped me in my tracks just as you were talking, when you said like Hope going around getting donuts for people's birthday, writing future North Muskegon girls soccer star. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's next level.
So, and I think, Adam, what was cool about that is a lot of times that stuff goes like, oh, cool, good job, Hope. You know, a lot of coaches do stuff like that, right? Like, hey, good job, that's cool. But why was that cool? Like, what was good about that, right? Why does that make you and me go, that's awesome? Like, what is that, right? And so when we talk to Hope, we go, that's leadership. That's treating people the right, and being very intentional with how you praise athletes for what they did. Like, hey, that took, like, you had to think of that all on yourself, right? You had to go, I mean, I know it's a dollar or whatever, right? So you had to go spend your own money. You had to drive in your car. You had to know when the girl's birthday was, like, but to comment on all those things, say, that's leadership. Well done. So, you know, and I, as a teacher, like, they tell you, like, try not to say good job, right? Like, well, what was good, right? I do that all the time on accident. And I say, I'm like, hey, good. Well, what does that mean, right? What was good about it? Was it the words, the example? Like, what was good, right? So, hey, Hope, good job. No, hey, Hope, this was leadership. This was you putting your team on your back, being selfless and showing a freshman who's new to our program that this is family, this is who we are, right? And I think from the very beginning, everyone felt welcomed on the team. And I think Hope had a lot to do with that.
That's awesome. You know, one of my favorite quotes, to that which gets praised gets repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enhanced that a little bit over the years, to that which gets praised well gets repeated. Okay. Because there's different levels of praise. And I love that you just kind of went deep on that because you nailed it. Let's talk about this pasta party leading up to the championship game. I mentioned it earlier. Don't want to overhype it or make it bigger than it is, but it sounds like it was a pretty cool event leading into the championship game the night before. Talk about your thoughts there of what you were trying to do that night and what you had hoped would be accomplished and actually what did get accomplished.
So stole this right out of Anson Dorrance's playbook, right? For, he said that, I think it was like 22 out of 23 championships they were in, they won, and he did this activity. So I thought, well, there's a pretty good selling point, right? If I could model what he does, that's awesome. So this felt, you know, it's funny, like Anson Dorrance, for example, does all these things with character and grading athletes and stuff. And like, for me, I'm like, a lot of that is like, well, I stole the part that worked for what we're doing, right? Not like I'm just going to do what he does. But this part felt like it was much more like who I am as a leader. As an English teacher, I like to write. So I wanted, like, that part made sense to me and who I am. So the girls felt genuine, I think, affection and love when we did this, because it felt like, well, this is who we are. This isn't that different. It's just more intentional maybe. So what we wanted to do is that week, like, nerves are building, right? And I'll be honest, I didn't feel the nerves as much as the girls did. They had lost in the state semis 2 years in a row, lost a year to COVID. I mean, they were feeling the pressure.
And I think you're overachieving already.
You know what I mean?
Your first year coach, you're in the championship.
Or if I right. And if I lose that game in the state semis, like, well, you know, a really good coach before me lost twice there too. And before that, no one got there. Like, I felt pressure in the sense of like, excitement or whatever, but it wasn't the same for me as it was for those girls, right? And I recognize that. And one of the things we want to do for me when I feel like there's nerves, right, I want to remind them you're part of something bigger than you. Nerves usually, I feel like, comes down to like you feel like you have to score or else the whole team's let down or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, that's a terrible way of playing sports, isn't it? Like, if you're part of this thing, this team, this family, then we don't need you to do that. We need you to go all in. That's what we need you to do. So the night before the semifinal game, what we did is we had a little pasta party, and I asked the freshmen, no, seniors, that was right. Sorry, the seniors that night, we said, hey, seniors, we want you to just give some advice to the freshmen or younger, you know, underclassmen. Like, what would you do differently if you were a freshman or sophomore? What's some advice that you'd have for them? Because so many times these kids go off, and then, you know, if you lose that game, they have all these things they could have said to teammates, right, that say goodbye thing from you guys, right? Like, there's all these things that they could have been sharing with people and they just hadn't had a chance to. So we kind of wanted to just give an opportunity and let those seniors share what they wanted to share. And I mean, there was not a dry eye in the team. Like, it chokes me up just thinking about what we had that night, you know? And no, it's so special, man. And to hear these seniors just loving these freshmen. And it's like, some of these freshmen weren't even going to play. You know what I mean? They weren't even going to play, and they knew that, and it didn't matter. They were so all in with what we were doing, and I think it comes from that. It was that love poured on them, right? They recognized that they mattered, they had value, and they weren't going to score tomorrow, right? They weren't going to score. I don't think any of them thought, oh, man, I think I'm getting in tomorrow, and it's going to look like this, and I'm going to have this moment as a they knew their role, right? They knew what they were asked to do, and this was an opportunity for seniors who the girls respect and loved and felt that leadership all year. They were able to experience that, and I thought that was huge. And so the whole grand plan was like, hey, we're going to win this game, and plan number two was we're going to reverse the roles the next night, right? So we go out there, we play, and I'm going to be honest, we played a good team, and it just felt like our girls were not nervous. They just felt like, I don't know if we were better, I don't know, right? But we beat them, and it felt like our girls played our game, and they felt like they were just ready to compete. They didn't really make mental mistakes. They weren't going, you know, kind of sheepishly to balls. They were playing hard from the get-go. And I think that paid off. And I think it was from the night before. I really do. I think that had a lot to do with it. So fast forward a night and a half, we're like, hey, we should probably do that again, right? Coaches are like, yeah, duh, right? So, I mean, no-brainer of the year award, right? So we're like, yeah, we should probably do that again, huh? Absolutely, right? Get all the pasta again. We go, hey, we're going to do this thing tonight. What I'm asking you to do is freshmen, I'm asking you to be brave and be courageous and share something that's personal to you about how the seniors have affected your life. And we talk about bravery, right? That looks one way on the field, but a lot of it is like sharing what's on your heart and not being afraid that you're going to cry or not being afraid that like, well, I'm a freshman, no one wants to hear what I have to say, and or I'm a junior or sophomore, it's not my time or whatever. And man, so we had, we just went around and I read a letter to each kid. So I wrote a letter to all eight of our players. Read that to them in like a little circle. You know,
seniors. Seniors, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seniors.
Eight seniors. Right? Okay.
Yep. Eight seniors. So I read a letter to each one of those girls and just said basically why we love them, what they bring to the team, and how we're so proud of them. And, you know, we're part of a family and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And just kind of talked about that. And after we were done, I just said, hey, let's take a second. Let's honor Megan. Anybody have anything they'd like to share about Megan or Hope or so for Audrey or Emily or, you know, Georgie, Audrey, whoever, you know, like Cyan, like, let's just take a minute. And that could have gone on for hours. And if you ask the kids on the team what the highlight of the season was that night, And it's no joke. I mean, it was, you can't lose, right? We just, there was this special moment, right? And so you had these freshmen who we've seen be like, one of them, I'm not going to share her name, but she's one of the squirreliest kids we have on the team. She's such a goofball. And she just goes for a second. She goes, you know what? And she just starts crying and just thanking the seniors. She's like, I have this hole in my heart. I don't know how I'm going to replace you guys. And just like how much I love you. And man, it got, I mean, seriously, not a dry eye. And it was next day we went and did business. You know what I mean? It was awesome. But the girls were ready to go.
You know, when you hear this, and all this stuff, and I'm loving, I'm taking notes as you're talking and different things with all the focus on just loving one another and the relationships and the culture, you almost forget what the sport is, right? You almost forget that we're even here to play a sport. And when we talk about some coaches exemplify it in greater capacity than others, but it's bigger than a game,
yeah,
right? It's bigger than a game. And when I hear what everything that's taking place, like it is on full display that what happened there is bigger than a game. But like the beauty is when you do these things that are quote unquote bigger than the game usually plays out better. Okay. Like I love the phrase and I'm probably going to steal it from you, coach, but like the difference that is made when the love's poured on them, right? You said the love poured on them and you alluded to the impact that when they feel that love poured on them, how much it can change, you know? And I think when a championship run, I think one thing that's so special is that the love is being poured in on them from all different directions, from their teammates, from their coaches, from their classmates, from their parents. You know, I even tried to get in on the action also. I've recorded a video for you guys that I don't know. Was it, did you show it the day before or?
We watched it. So we did the love fest, right? And then we got in the game mode. So the next day we showed your videos right before we got on the bus. They were fired up and we went. You know, yeah, we used that as our little, I said, oh, sweet, you saved me five, you know, hours on a pregame talk. I just put Adam's video on and hit play. So thank you.
Yeah, Hope sent me a message, said it was really cool, but really just kind of honing in on what you just alluded to, just trying to pour love on them.
Yep.
Right? Because like players are going to perform at their best when they feel loved the most. And that's, you know, I just wanted to kind of encourage you guys. And, you know, you'd mentioned, you sent in a text, you know, that hands down, no doubt about it, the biggest difference in our team was the culture. The team was more talented in previous years than this team, but yet couldn't get over the hump. And before I continue, you hear that all the time. I tweeted this the other day, like, we were more talented then. Or in that we had more talent that year. And that's usually a precursor to them then following up saying, but yet we performed better in this group, which is just another reminder that, yes, you need talent to be successful, but it is more than just talent to reach your full potential. Okay. And I know coaches oftentimes have to mature to that mindset. But hey, like Mono Watsa from PGC Basketball says, the fastest way to shortcut success is through mentorship and advice. So use that advice, okay? Pour into your players from a leadership, character, heart perspective today. It becomes the difference maker. It is the difference maker. Don't wait 10 years of coaching to learn that lesson, okay? It's here now for you, available for free. Go do it, okay? Yeah. But you talked about the fact that everyone was praising the culture and how it just was the game changer and you owed it to just programs like Lead 'Em Up and such. But talk about the role like using programs like this have on a program, if you would.
Yeah.
Right? And how you can complement it and, you know, bring it alongside and things of that nature.
Sure. And I think part of it, like in two ways, like one is the idea of like podcasts and coaching on culture podcasts, right? Like your podcast. Whenever I'm listening to that stuff, I'm just more mindful of that stuff. Right. So for example, like even if it was something on like captains and like we felt like we were in a good spot, the fact that I'm even thinking about that makes me a better coach that day. And it has maybe nothing to do with like captains that day. Right.
Yeah, and let me chime in on that. The reason is, and it's a phrase that we're going to continue to build on it, Lead 'Em Up, but it active thought versus afterthought. Mm. Okay. And that's one that, you know, yes, what you're just saying, you now have made this an active thought versus an afterthought, just something in your mind where you think about after the case, after the fact. Anyway, sorry, little side note, but active totally. Thought versus afterthought.
Totally. And just making sure that we're mindful of that, right? What I'm consuming in my car rides or whatever. And I try to just listen to that stuff. And so me as coach, I improved with that because I was mindful of it, right? And I was aware of it and thinking about, oh, what's the topic today? And even just sometimes that was all I got that week, but that was huge for me as a leader. To see these, you know, I had a couple, I think there's two podcasts I go back and forth with for coaching. And it's like, man, I listen to that and I'm fired up. My hair's on fire, all of it, you know, and we go outside and it's like, I'm ready to, it's some little nugget, right? You can use in practice that day. So that was huge for me, even in the 8-minute car ride or whatever it was, right to the field. It was something like, you know, hey, today we're going to praise bravery or something, just that kind of idea. And it's like, huh, it didn't take all that long, right? For some of that, but the other part of it is I think everyone, every coach knows that culture is important, right? Like whenever I talk to coaches, they always say how important culture is. And I don't know if everybody knows what that means. And it's not that I'm this expert and I just think I had the right resources, you know? And so for me, it was like, well, here's a program where, I don't know, our girls struggled with confidence is what they said. Number one thing is they felt like, which is shocking coming from the team that we had, but they said, you know what? Like, if I had to improve, it'd be my confidence to everyone, right? Confidence. Well, that's culture, right? Why are you not confident? Well, you played soccer forever. Why aren't you confident? Well, and it comes down to like, they're afraid to screw up. They're afraid to make mistakes. So what are you going to do when you could shoot a left foot shot from way out? Well, no, they're going to take two extra touches and try to do what they're right. And then they miss because they don't have enough time. And it's like, that came down to culture. So when we did a lot of the Lead 'Em Up stuff, and I got this from a good buddy of mine back home in Illinois, a girls basketball coach who also, you know, had quite a run with girls basketball down there. And just watching how he did that, and he did like sessions over the summer. He used the summertime to really, as he calls like chalk talk or Lead 'Em Up sessions. He really got after it in the summer. When we're talking about, I'm just listening to your thing right now, talking about like optional versus, you know, required workouts, right? And so you think about that, like those girls don't want to miss stuff like that. This is who we're going to be. You can't miss it. Is it required? I don't know. If you're asking, is it required? It's the wrong thing, right?
Yeah. If that's where your program has to get to, you're probably underachieving.
It's like, oh, Christmas dinner. Is that required? Well, like it's, it would
you don't
want to
be here. Yeah. You don't want to be a part of it.
Right. And some, but sometimes the answer is probably not. Right. And that's a family culture, right. To be fair. And like, I just felt like we spent a lot of time, I think, doing that before the season. And then I tried to make sure at least once a week that we did something. Right. And sometimes it was simple as honestly, I just said, hey, who's been crushing it this week? Who in this circle? And we have JV there as well. So JV and Barsek, who's been crushing it this week? Who's all in this week? Who's on the green team this week? Who's a yellow on this week that we see now becoming green? Who's becoming like, and we would just one question. And the girls would just, I mean, verbalize praise for one another. And it was like, that's kind of my style too. Right. So it didn't feel like inauthentic because I think that's kind of how I roll. Right. And so I think that was important too. Like they're looking at their leader and going, well, I'm kind of a softie and I'm kind of, that's how I am. Right. So I think no one was surprised by that. And they also felt safe because I would say things like, hey, you know, I don't think, you know, Coach Wilson or Coach Johnson or Coach Schultz or Coach Gorbach for doing X, Y, or Z this week. Right. And so they hear their coaches talking like that to each other. Then the coaches would say, well, gosh, Caleb, you know, you've been crushing at this week. Perfect. Anyone else? Oh, hey, thanks, coach. And all of a sudden we just spend time. And it was like, you didn't even need this like program sometimes. It was just like, we did the foundation work. And then it was kind of, as we just come back to it, it was sometimes as simple as just asking the girls to say like, hey, who are you loving on this week? Who's made a difference to you this week?
Yeah. You know, I think I say this all the time. One of the greatest things about programs like Lead 'Em Up is they build momentum, but then that momentum goes in many different ways, right? And you want the team, the coach, the player to take that momentum that's initiated at times and do what you're doing, right? Like, find little ways and allow it to continue to kind of intertwine within your program based on your personality, based on your team's dynamic and the need of the team at the time, all those different things. You know, it's not a one size fit all thing, but you need that structure. And I think one other thing that it also communicates an importance to the team. Mm-hmm. When there is some type of program in place, right, that it's not just we're like going to willy nilly our way through it, you know, but when you've, like you said, we're going to take this book and read it, right? We're going to sign up for this program and use it at, like, now all of a sudden we're communicating the team that, like, I'm not making this up as I go. I'm not just like kind of am, but not really am. But no. We're in, right? This is an important thing. And this is how we're going to do it. And this is what's going to support it and things of that nature. It goes a long, long way. And, you know, it's interesting. You kind of joked about listening to things and getting inspiration from things. And, you know, sometimes you get so fired up, you light your hair on fire. There's a little pun in there because your hair actually got into the spotlight there after the championship game, because you told your players that if they won the championship, they could do whatever they wanted to do to your hair. And this episode is not on video, but I have it on video because I watched Instagram Live when you all did it. But you let them shave a mohawk.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the, after the game, first of all, the whole hangout that y'all seen, it looked like y'all were at a big pool party at someone's house. That looked like it was probably just super fun and just one of the best nights ever after the night of the win. But the mohawk is looking good, coach.
Thank you. My daughter touches it all the time. She's like, are you going to look this bad forever? We appreciate the 5-year-old brutal honesty, right? And the answer is yes. I'm going to get worse, actually, as this is how this works, right?
This is true. And you know what, little one, you're probably going to be the cause of the gray hair and the losing of the hair,
right? Yeah, for sure. They had a riot with that, though. That was hilarious. But I kind of forget, and so I'm like I'm teaching at a community college out here, and I forget, and all the kids are looking at me like, whoa, what? Did you do that because you thought it looked good? Like, is that why you were?
Yeah, you trying to be hip, coach?
Yeah, coach, did you do that because you thought, like, oh, man, I'd look really good with a mohawk, right? No, I did not. I did not.
Well, coach, man, hey, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Division IV national champion or state championship there in Michigan. And, you know, just what a special group. And appreciate you coming on to share some of your experience, some of your insights, some of your wisdom of how you did what you did, right? And, you know, I hope coaches took some of the things you shared and your intentionality and they say, you know what, like, I was inspired by that. Like, now my hair is on fire. I'm fired up. I want to go do some of that stuff. And I want to love my players at a higher level than ever before and things of that nature. So, coach, keep doing what you're doing. I look forward to staying in touch. And thanks for the time this morning.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dad. You guys made a huge difference for what we're doing. So, I mean, like I said, thank you. Right. Truly. Yeah.
My pleasure. Tell the squad I said hi.
Oh.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks,
man. Until next time, I am Adam, and this is Lead 'Em Up. We are out.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.